Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we are your people dashboard for small and medium companies. That's right. Just because you are an HR team at a smaller company that may be not able to have your own dedicated HR analytics or reporting person, doesn't mean that you shouldn't have the luxury and the privilege. That's right. You have the right to be data-driven. And so that's why we've created Employee Cycle, a people dashboard to connect to all of your different systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement, performance, Glassdoor, you name it, so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your people data in one place. Go to employeecycle.com to schedule a demo, or you can actually get a free trial, give it a twirl, and check it out for yourself. But that's enough about me and our company, because today we have a very special guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Rachel Ernst, CHRO at Reflective, and today we're going to discuss how HR has responded to the different stages of COVID. Rachel, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Rachel! Welcome!
I can just feel your energy right through our laptops. It's so great to be with you today. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for making time. And so, Rachel, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, which is by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh, yeah. I found myself throughout college and graduate school spending a lot of time listening and relaying feedback from students up to administration or in the college organizations I was a part of, but listening a lot to the members and then thinking about the changes that we could make. And one of the grad school advisors had me really reflect on where was I spending my time and what did I most enjoy doing. And it was really listening and taking action based on feedback. So I ended up deciding to go into HR because that was my natural inclination throughout my younger years.
Got it. So today we're discussing how HR has responded to the different stages of COVID. So I want to put a timestamp on this episode being September 3rd. So that everyone can know where the world is and how the world is operating as you're answering these questions. So on the surface, generally speaking, what's the biggest difference between mid-March when your organization was first hit with COVID and working remotely and all the craziness that everybody was going through versus today?
You know, and I think back to March when we just went remote, there was a significant amount of angst and uncertainty about the future of our economy and most importantly, health. And now, well, obviously there continues to be uncertainty, but I would say that there's almost this sense of we've settled into a new routine. And I'd imagine we're getting more comfortable with some of the unknowns and learning how to navigate through ambiguity in a much bigger scope than any of us have ever imagined.
All right. So if we want to break this down into three different stages, the first being, what is going on here? This is crazy. The second being a heightened sense of awareness, where you're really thinking, okay, seems like we could be getting out of this soon, potentially, but we still have a lot of unknown, and then now getting closer to this new routine. Let's first start with what is going on. Where were you? What was your mindset? How did you react to that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I would say that was, you know, around towards the end of February, beginning of March, when we all were just wondering what exactly was going to happen. And I'd say, where were we as an organization at that time was, let's gather as much information as we can. We only can do the best that we can, right, with the information that's out there. Learn and communicate to our employees on a regular basis. So we actually set up a regular cadence of communication to our employees, whether it was once a week or more than once a week, depending on how quickly things were changing with COVID. So, you know, especially during a time of very high level of uncertainty and angst, the most important thing that organizations can do is communicate and stay calm and give information to employees and recognize what's happening, right? Some organizations might freeze and not know what to do because there's so much out there. But for us, it was provide a regular cadence of communication, recognize what is happening, and let people know when to expect to hear again from us.
So when it came to employee engagement and trying to make sure that employees are connected, were you going through the motions of, were you the person hosting the Zoom yoga classes and pet parades and a whole bunch of virtual games? Were you doing that type of stuff?
Right. Yeah, my team was. My team absolutely was. So there are a number of things, and probably phrase the question, what are the things that we did during that very beginning time to really help people, I'd say, settle into a different kind of normal? And there are various things that we did. We did create a social calendar, and we had twice a week where people could just drop into a Zoom session and say hi and connect and talk about what they're worried about. I think it's very important to provide a space for people to connect and say what's on their mind. So we had that frequently, and then just had various fun things that people could do, whether it's with Reflective internally or things that they could do outside of Reflective. So my team actually pulled a bunch of different things that you could do during the day or during the weekends, for instance, or you could look at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. There's a setup there to watch the fish, the penguins, or you could do virtual cooking sessions. So we did provide a number of different things. We continue to that allow people to feel at least some sense of normal that they were used to, but in a more virtual setting. The thing that I would say actually is the most important thing that we did that I know a number of organizations did is we sent out a survey soon after we moved to remote, and it was called the coronavirus survey. It's actually something Reflective offered free to any of its customers, where you could get an idea of the sentiment that was happening during that time. Do you feel supported by the company? How is our cadence of communication? How are you feeling in terms of supported by your manager? And do you feel that you have the right tools and technology at home to be your most productive self? So we sent that out and got a really good sense of what we were doing well and what we could do even better. And I think just the idea of sending a survey out like that is to say, hey, employees, we recognize this is a tough time. We really want to do as much as we can to support you. And we'd like to hear how we're doing and what we can do better. And we acted on that feedback. And then about 5 or 6 weeks later, we sent the survey again so that we could gauge our progress. That's another thing I recommend is having some kind of regular cadence of measuring success so that you can understand what's going well and what's not going as well.
And with that, one of the things that I've heard consistently that was a challenge, but also an opportunity to really get to know their workforce better, was the notion that you need to provide emotional support and resources to help the org overall. But at the same time, so many people are going through very personalized challenges and issues, whether they had kids or someone in their family contracted the coronavirus, or somebody in their family had lost a job or maybe unfortunately passed away. There were so many personalized things that could have happened on a single employee basis. How did you go about figuring out where to focus on things that would help everyone versus individual employees?
Gosh, that question, Bruce, is excellent. And I imagine that a lot of us as HR professionals ask ourselves that general question on a day-to-day basis. What is it that I can do to support the majority of my employees? And how also can I almost like empower my managers and employees with the right kind of resources to take the right action for themselves? So I'd like to say I hired about 100 other HR people to address everything that we needed, but we can't do that. So a few things that we did, we built out a few different playbooks with the support of a number of other wonderful vendors who have been helpful in this space, one of them being Life Labs, just providing excellent workbooks to say, hey, employees, if you've never worked from home before, here are different tips for you. Hey, managers, here's how to manage this for your team. Parents, here's a resource paper on how to best support your employees, your kids, and how to help them through school during this difficult time and also be working and be a parent. And that's a lot of things in one time, but we put together a workbook for them. The most important thing to make sure that everybody is covered is guiding one-on-one conversations. I think about that a lot. So one of the things that we did is we educated our managers. We actually held a few sessions right when we went remote to say, let's talk about the challenges that you're facing as a manager and what are the kinds of things that your employees are going to bring up to you. And let's go through those scenarios and help one another with how to address the challenges that your employees are having. One of the things that we actually built out in our software is the ability to, it's almost like prompt and encourage certain conversations. So we built out something called remote work conversations. And that allows managers or employees to go in and say, hey, in my next one-on-one, I'd like to talk about a particular challenge that I'm facing working remotely, or I'd like to talk about my progress on my goals because I'm struggling with everything that's going on with COVID and my angst is preventing me from being able to work at my highest productivity level. So we fed people with the kinds of things that are coming up that you might not naturally bring up. And then we coached our managers on how to address those conversations with their employees. We also talked to managers about mental wellness and how people are feeling right now. We pulled a bunch of studies, one of them being McKinsey, to say, hey, typically this is, you know, what it looks like for angst and depression generally, and this is how COVID has changed things. It's really educating them so that they felt more comfortable having those more in-depth conversations that you don't typically have when a pandemic is happening.
Got it. Very, very interesting. So now let's move on to the heightened sense of awareness stage, where you are off the heels of what is going on, but you're not necessarily in this new routine yet.
Mm-hmm.
What did that look like, and how are you operating and responding to that stage?
Well, I'd say that I always think again about how are employees feeling during that time, and the questions that were coming up then were, how long are we going to be working remotely? Are we going to go back to the office? Can we go back to the office? Can we work there? It's like people, once they've been in it for something like 8 weeks or so, they're wondering when we're going to go back to this sense of normal that they're used to. And so what we did on a regular basis then, I think, again, this all goes back to a regular cadence of communication, is let them know how we're evaluating whether we're going to be going back to an office, when we're going to be going back to the office, and all the considerations that we're taking. That was really important. And then the other thing that we thought a lot about is, how often should we be communicating? How often do we come together as an organization? And what kind of content should we be talking about with people? Because again, that communication can make a big difference in providing a sense of security for people. And so through various polls, we came to the conclusion that every 2 weeks coming together as an organization is important. One of them is a much shorter, we called it a fireside chat with our CEO, where we give updates by department and we talk about great wins. And then once a month, we have an all hands meeting. So every 2 weeks, there's a touch point for the whole organization to come together. And then we have various other things like a newsletter where we put out communication. So again, you know, to your question, I'd say, when people are kind of wondering what's going to happen, it's back to your cadence of communication and content of communication. So we are very mindful of where's everyone's head right now, and what does that mean that we need to be talking to them about right now.
Awesome. And now let's bring it current with the new routine. How are people settling in to this new, almost new routine, new reality, but still trying to figure it out, as we can clearly see with schools and not knowing if kids are going to be back or not be back? I mean, there's still so many questions and still so much uncertainty, but it does seem like a lot of people are in some type of new inconsistent routine. What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we had done that is helping people settle into that routine and brings us to where we are today is we created several different task forces for employees to take action. So instead of saying, I wish this were happening at the company, I like to empower people and say, why don't you be part of that change? And so when we bring it to present day, I'll talk about a few things that are happening that provides a new sense of normal for our employees. One of them is we created a culture committee. And the culture committee was focused on embedding. We had just revised our values right around the time that we were going into remote work and the height of COVID. And we've really been focused on how do we embed these new values within our culture? And we have a great team of people who have put together great ways, whether it's how do you embed our values in your regular career conversations? How do we think about that in terms of what it means when we interact with our customers? We're doing a workshop about that coming up soon. We also have a DEI task force. So that's been a big thing that we've been working on as well, so that our employees can feel like we're really building change both within our organization and outside of our organization around the diversity, equity, inclusion front. So I think providing employees with a sense of purpose that's greater than themselves and greater than the organization, like how can I really help the world during this time, is what's going to bring the most fulfillment. So we provide a lot of that opportunity for people to feel like they have a sense of purpose in this new normal that we're all feeling.
And in regards to anyone who might be listening to this and they're in this new routine stage now, or they're looking for some guidance, if there's one thing that you could tell them that you would want them to remember, if they didn't remember anything else, what would that be?
I'd say to be curious. It's actually one of our values. And to encourage yourself to say, what can I learn in this new time? What have I learned about myself? And what can I do to help, whether it's my team or my organization, move forward? I think putting an emphasis on development, that's what we're doing right now. Every month we have a different development theme and everyone is expected to have a development goal. And so the best way to manage through something like this is through curiosity and learning. And then taking that learning and thinking about what you can do with it so that you feel like you've made a contribution during a difficult time.
Rachel, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and walking us through your journey of how you were helping your workforce survive, thrive, and really reduce anxiety and uncertainty among your workforce through these challenging times of 2020, COVID, Black Lives Matter, and all the things that have been happening. So thank you so much. And I'm sure your workforce would like to thank you and show appreciation for all the things that you've been doing too. So thanks a lot for being on the show.
Woo! Rachel!
Such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
So where can people find you and Reflective online?
Absolutely. So we're at www.reflectivewithak.com. People are also welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Rachel Ernst on LinkedIn with Reflective.
Awesome. We're going to include all of that information in the show notes so you could reach out to Rachel directly or learn more about Reflective on their website. So if you enjoyed this podcast as much as Rachel and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating to show that you care and that we are providing great content. Also, if this is the very first Employee Cycle Podcast episode you're listening to, and you came here because you're either already a super fan of Rachel and just had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought this topic was compelling and now you're hungry for more, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.